This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The workplace is a battlefield. We march to the office in the morning and fight the battles of work stress throughout the day. But what do you do when you feel like you are at your lowest? Good morning. This is Raise Your Game. My name is Audrey Raj. I'd like you to meet Justin Constantine. Justin is a former Marine who retired after going through a near-death experience during the Iraq War. After his recovery, he headed a movement to help injured veterans and began anew as a motivational speaker, leadership consultant, and now an author. We speak to Justin about what it takes to be a leader in the office battlefield and his story about his recovery and success.
Well, thank you, Audrey. And I've been very fortunate over the last 10 years. I'm a Marine officer, retired Marine officer. 10 years ago, I deployed to Iraq, so it was in 2006. And at that time, it was a lot of kinetic activity, a lot of fighting going on. We were in what's called Al-Anbar province, in between the towns of Fallujah and Ramadi. And this was when the insurgency there was at the height of their power. This is before we started what was called the surge to try to take care of that. And I was attached to a Marine infantry battalion. I'm actually a lawyer by background, but in the Marines, we learned how to do a lot of different jobs. And so I did not deploy as a lawyer. I was there with the infantry doing what's called civil affairs to help rebuild destroyed infrastructure. But that being said, it was just a tough time over there. So we hit the improvised explosive devices every day. We had troops in combat every day. And we were on one of our patrols on October 18, 2006, so just over 10 years ago. And I was, to put it frankly, I was shot in the head by a sniper. We knew the sniper was in the area because he'd already killed a few of our Marines in the past couple of weeks. We had counter-sniper teams out looking for him. And I should have died that day. Our Navy corpsman was absolutely incredible. I wasn't breathing anymore, but he rolled me over and performed rescue breathing and then cut open my throat and performed what's called an emergency tracheotomy, even though the bullet had just gone through my face. The other Marines formed a defensive perimeter and tried to shoot at the sniper. And then they were able to race me to the aid station and keep me alive long enough to get me to the hospital where I could be start doing surgeries. And so I've had a lot of surgeries, probably a couple dozen over the last 10 years. I still have more to go, actually. I don't have upper teeth. I'm waiting on some dentures. So it's been a long road, but I've had amazing people around the country, around America, have reached out to me and helped me in any number of ways. And, of course, the person who's been the absolute rock in my recovery, who was then my girlfriend, who's now my wife, is Dahlia. And so between the corpsman and the rest of the Marines and then Dahlia and then a number of others, I just had a very fortunate recovery and now try to make the most of every day I have here.
So how did you get from, you know, being a Marine officer to now a public speaker, an international speaker, and someone who's an expert in overcoming adversity and in leadership?
Well, it certainly didn't happen overnight. And so I recovered, took about close to a year to recover. I went back to work as a lawyer. And then three years ago, I wrapped up being a lawyer. I practiced for 15 years and decided I started doing the public speaking on the side and I wanted to do it full time. So I did start doing that and it started very small, at small events. Now I speak at large court events at universities. Just yesterday, I live in New York City. I spoke at an event at New York University, NYU. I talk about leadership and overcoming adversity and the upside of change, because those are things I know a lot about. I learned a lot about leadership in the Marine Corps. I wrote a book about leadership last year focusing on mid-level managers and how they can learn to lead people, because millions of people work hard and are promoted every year but never learn how to lead people. And so I focused on that. I spent a lot of time reading about it. I've been involved in different leadership programs. And I believe that to be an expert on something, you you know, I kind of subscribe to the Malcolm Gladwell philosophy of 10,000 hours. You have to put lots and lots of time in studying and thinking and working on it. It doesn't just happen from talking about it. So I've given hundreds and hundreds of presentations and, you know, worked on workshops for leadership and overcoming adversity. I'm now a certified coach, and I'm starting to work on coaching for personal development and transition. But these are things I really care about, and I know I can have an impact on them. So every day I really enjoy working on this material.
Do you remember taking that first step out to speak in front of an audience for the first time after your injury?
I do. I mean, I have a background in speaking from being a trial lawyer in the Marine Corps. I did criminal defense and criminal prosecution, and then was always comfortable speaking. But I was invited to come speak up in New Jersey or in Pennsylvania for a organization for law enforcement. It was state troopers from New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, and they. One of the lieutenants contacted me and asked me if I wanted to come speak. He had heard about me, and I was really nervous because my head was still quite disfigured. I couldn't speak very clearly because I still didn't have any bottom dentures. And so I knew it was going to be quite a challenge, but I knew this is a very sympathetic audience, understanding, a lot of former Marines in the audience and other service members. And so I said, well, this is a good place to start. And I went up there and spoke for about 20 minutes, just about a lesson or two I had learned after that day in Iraq. And, you know, I had a thunderous standing ovation, and it was very emotional for me, actually, the strong reaction I had from the crowd. And I haven't looked back since.
Your book, Justin, My Battlefield, Your Office, compares the office to the battlefield grounds. Now, tell us a bit about this and how you drew that comparison.
Well, I wanted to make it clear in the title and by the picture on the cover that, you know, I'm coming from a military background. And so there are certainly a lot of parallels between the business world and military, not combat per se, but the planning that goes into any military operation. And I think the Marine Corps does a fantastic job of leadership because we focus on taking care of the people around you. We push responsibility down to the lowest levels. So you have 19, 20, 20-year-old men and women who are responsible for 4, 8, or 12 other people at a time. And that doesn't typically happen in the private sector. So I thought the private sector could learn a lot from the lessons we learn about taking care of your people, developing a vision, being responsible, being a good mentor, and just working with an attitude where integrity is quite important to you. And even in the book, I talked about volunteer work and how you can make a difference in your community, because I think those are all important things for people to think about. In the Marine Corps, we focus on leading from the front and supporting and trusting those who are leading us. And so I think these are all lessons that could really help businesses that aren't focusing on that.
So what would you say makes a good leader on the battlefield, and how can that be applied to everyday life in the office?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, staying calm, being prepared, and understanding that things are going to change at a moment's notice. No one appreciates, in the military or in the office, someone who's running around, and I've had bosses like this once I left the Marine Corps, running around, yelling, and kind of frantic and not prepared. So people appreciate when a leader has put in time preparing for whatever that mission is, and also included and taken the advice of those junior to him or her. Some leaders forget to do that, but I think it's critically important if you're going to have buy-in from the folks on your team, whether it's military or non-military, to include those who might have some valuable insight. But I think at the end of the day for us, it's about putting your people first. And that's something that's drilled into our heads, whether you're an officer or enlisted in the Marine Corps, because as you gain rank and gain responsibility, if your folks don't trust you on the battlefield, you're not going to accomplish your mission. And when you don't accomplish your mission there, the results can be fatal. So you're not going to have fatal results in the private sector, but still the lessons apply.
When we come back, we speak to Justin Constantine about his work rehabilitating veterans and his open and very critical letter to Donald Trump. What does this expert on leadership think about the United States president-elect? That's coming up after this. Raise your game, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Good morning. Welcome back to Raise Your Game. My name is Audrey Raj. On the phone with me this morning is former Marine and attorney Justin Constantine. Now, Justin survived a gunshot wound to the head while serving in the Iraq War almost 10 years ago, and today is a motivational speaker, leadership consultant, and author of the book My Battlefield, Your Office. We speak to him about his work with war veterans and his story of recovery and success.
I'm on the board of directors of four or five different nonprofits. I co-founded a nonprofit of my own last year for veterans. I've been on a congressional committee, and so I am very active in the veteran space. Now I spend a lot of time trying to help veterans and wounded warriors and military spouses get jobs in the private sector. So employers do say, how do I find the veterans? I mean, I have my own network. I know where a lot are, but there are 250,000 veterans are leaving the U.S. military every year. And wow. So, of course, America's a big country. They're all over the place. And so it just takes experience. But I've been doing this for 7 or 8 years now. And so I have a good network with different large organizations that focus on getting veterans and their families to work. So I tap into them there. Also online, there's, you know, whether it's on LinkedIn or Facebook or even Twitter, there's a lot of ways to reach veterans. And I've taken time and put an effort to foster relationships with senior leaders in a lot of different veterans organizations, whether it's big national ones or smaller local ones. So we have tens of thousands of them here in the States. And so I'm constantly trying to expand my network because I know if I can reach them and tell them, hey, there's this hiring fair here or this great event here, they can spread it to their hundreds of followers as well. So really it's the ripple effect.
So what other initiatives do you currently head and what drives and motivates you to do what you do?
Well, I'll answer the second part first. And what drives me is essentially my near-death experience. You know, I was lucky enough to speak a couple of weeks ago in California at an event. It was a Marine Corps birthday ball. So it was a military event hosted by a group called the 1st Medical Battalion, which is a Navy command, but they're part of the Marine Corps. I didn't know it, but the person who invited me to be a guest speaker had also ensured that two of the doctors who operated on me in Iraq 10 years ago were also going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I had never met them. I had never had a chance to say thank you. So it was a really emotional dinner for me. And then given my comments, I was thinking about them the whole time. So that was incredible. So it's something, even though it's 10 years ago, it's top of mind to me that I'm just very, very fortunate to be here. I survived something that probably should have killed me. So I want to make the best use of my time every single day. I don't want to waste time. I want to live an inspired life, and I want to spend my time on things that are important to me. So I've taken the time to, with my wife, to sit down and plan out what are our 5 and 10 year goals, and what does it take to get there, and what is important to me. And so now we've also, just on a tactical level, we've now started every day journaling together, identifying these things. What would make a great day today? What are 3 things I really want to accomplish? And I know there's a lot of different variations of that, but that's something that works for us. And so that is what drives me, is that I know that our time here on Earth can go away in an instant. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make an impact while I'm here. As far as the things I am currently working on, my latest product, which I'm getting ready to release in 2 weeks, is a veterans calendar. It's a desktop calendar that's called Every Day is Veterans Day that salutes our veterans every day and has quotes from 365 veterans and some military spouses and caregivers. That's a small project. But I work on veteran employment and also training, helping train people at corporations how to interview veterans, how to onboard them, and how to retain veterans. So I think that's very valuable as well. And I'm right now trying to build a bigger platform for my not only just speaking, but also coaching and leadership development.
So from all the people that you've helped in your time, that you've spoken to, that you've helped, you know, overcome adversities, do you have a favorite success story?
I've been very fortunate, Audrey, that I do get a lot of positive feedback from when I speak at events. I mean, typically I'll stick around afterwards and talk to many, many people and take pictures. I'll stay as long as they want. And then a lot of emails as well. But, you know, sometimes I'll never hear again from those people. But I guess this is not a favorite, but the one I'm most concerned with is the corpsman who saved my life. And he has his own struggles right now, physical and with post-traumatic stress. And I can certainly relate to that. I went to counseling for a year and a half for post-traumatic stress. So it's not my favorite success story, which is what you asked, but it is the most rewarding, because I've helped him along the way. I owe him my life, so I certainly can never repay that, but it is the most important one to me.
So recently you wrote a critical open letter to Donald Trump. This was in June, I think. And now that he is president-elect, what sort of advice would you give to Mr. Trump on leadership?
Well, I don't think he would listen to me, but I would say that you know, we are a country that's politically divided right now, and that although Donald Trump is our next president, it certainly was not a mandate for any of his particular policies, except that change is something that we need in Washington, D.C., similar to President Obama and perhaps Ronald Reagan and others. I mean, and so I would say that I would really encourage him to listen to both sides of the political spectrum, to take into consideration that America is a changing country. We have demographically, we're changing every day, and to try to stay as close to the center as possible.
And in your book, you describe some of the oversights that leaders are often unaware about. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I would think that sometimes leaders don't do a good job. Of course, it just depends. I think one of the oversights leaders make is not staying in touch with the people who are on the ground. And we could say that perhaps Hillary Clinton was guilty of that in this election by not really listening to the people who where the rubber meets the road. And that's, you know, that those are the people you really want to take care of. In the military, those are typically our junior enlisted Marines or our junior enlisted folks. And they're the ones who are doing the work. They're the ones who are, whether it's creating a product, whether it's assembling something or doing the manual labor, or coming up with the ideas for pushing forward. If you're not staying in touch with them and making sure they're happy and incorporating their thoughts on how to change, then you're really doing your company a disservice. Some of the best modifications and changes within companies have been brought about by the layperson there, by the typical worker. I think it was at 3M, the Post-it was created just by a person who was just working on something else, but they had a good idea. And I think Google does a great job of cultivating this. But I think to answer your question succinctly, if leaders make sure they were still getting input from all throughout their companies, it would really help themselves.
And Justin, just before we go, what advice would you give someone who is at their lowest? What is the one thing that you would remind them to help them get out of bed every morning?
Well, if I could only have one thing, I would say you're stronger than you think you are. And that was certainly the case with me. And I talked to many, many people now who have overcome significant challenges. And if you dig deep, you're going to find resources that you probably didn't know you had before. So it's about, I think a lot has to do with mental and deciding where you want to be and saying to yourself, I can do this. I can overcome the toughest obstacles.
Justin, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Audrey. I really appreciate being here.
I've been speaking with motivational speaker, leadership consultant, and author of the book, My Battlefield, Your Office, Justin Constantine. For more information on Justin and his works, visit his website, justinconstantine.com, or follow him on Twitter at Constantine_JUS. My name is Audrey Raj. You've been listening to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.